All right, get ready, because we're jumping into this story about a biblical king.
Oh, this is a good one.
It's like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Starts out like a rock star, cleans up the kingdom, makes a huge impact on how everyone's worshiping. But then things get kind of messy.
Yeah.
Judgment, wars, the whole deal.
Yeah, the whole nine yards.
So we're talking about King Asa, right?
Yeah.
And we're going deep into Chronicles today.
We are. And what makes it so fascinating, especially in the source we're using for our deep dive today, Dr. Conkle's lecture on Chronicles,
okay,
specifically session 17, is that he doesn't present Asa as just like a good king. You know?
Oh, interesting.
Like the chronicler is doing something way more complex.
Okay, so I'm already intrigued.
Yeah.
So when I think powerful king, I'm thinking battlefield wins, the whole thing.
Right.
But you're saying the chronicler has a different angle.
Well, yeah. It's almost like he's saying
that
tons of armies don't always mean victory. Yeah, it's like he's saying that ultimately God decides who wins and who loses, regardless of who has the bigger army.
Whoa, so it's more about divine strategy than just like military power.
Totally.
Wow.
But to understand this more, we need to back up and get to know Asa a bit.
Okay.
You mentioned that he started strong.
Right.
And boy, did he ever. This guy goes all in on religious reform.
Yeah.
The chronicler tells us that he got rid of all these foreign places of worship. Like, imagine him going through the kingdom trying to purify everything.
Yeah, like a major spiritual decluttering, right?
Yes.
It makes me think, you know, how easy it is to just get caught up in what everyone else is doing, even like when it comes to faith.
Totally.
Just going with the flow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe losing sight of what you really believe.
Absolutely. And to really grasp this, we need to understand what the chronicler meant by foreign places of worship.
Okay.
He's talking specifically about places with Baal symbols and particularly these things called Asherahs.
Asherahs. That sounds like something straight out of fantasy novel.
Right.
What were those exactly?
Well, think of them like these sacred groves of trees, often associated with the worship of Baal.
Okay.
They represented fertility, life, and the chronicler saw them as, like, totally incompatible with worshiping the one true God.
Oh.
For him, the only legitimate place to worship was the temple in Jerusalem. Anything else was a distraction, diluting God's holiness.
I see.
Like, remember the story of Gideon when he tears down his father's altar to Baal?
Right.
He also destroys the Asherah that's right there with it.
Wow. Okay, so it's almost like these Asherahs were a symbol of divided loyalties, right?
Exactly.
Like, by getting rid of them, Ace is making this statement, you know?
Yeah.
We're all in on the one true God.
Precisely. And it wasn't just spiritual stuff.
Okay.
He builds up this massive army, fortifies cities, making Judah look like a superpower.
So strong army, purified faith.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's got this king thing figured out.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah. Right. But you mentioned earlier that the chronicler isn't so sold on military might being the key to victory.
Right.
So how does he explain Asa's success then?
Well, to the chronicler, a large army is a sign of God's favor, reflecting the king's righteousness.
Hmm.
But its power meant to be used God's way, not the king's own way.
I see.
And when Asa faces this huge Nubian army led by Zerah, the chronicler makes it crystal clear.
Okay.
God is on Asa's side, and that's why he wins.
So it's not that the army doesn't matter.
Right.
It's more like it's only really effective when it's under God's command.
Yes.
It's almost like God's saying, here's the power, but use it wisely.
Exactly.
Remember who's really in charge here.
You got it. And just when it seems like everything's perfect, this prophet shows up.
Who is this?
His name is Azariah. And he gives this fiery sermon all about urging people to stay strong in their faith, especially when times are tough.
Okay.
And guess what? This sparks this massive revival.
Yeah, wait.
Even the northern tribes get involved.
So this isn't just some local thing. The chronicler's emphasizing unity across the whole nation. That's a big deal.
It is, yeah.
Do we know anything about this Azariah guy? Was he like a big name prophet?
We don't have a ton of details about him, unfortunately, outside this event.
Okay.
But what makes this even more powerful is that it happens during the Feast of Weeks.
Hmm. The Feast of Weeks.
A major celebration. Think Harvest Festival meets commemorating the giving of the law at Mount Sinai.
So like double spiritual significance.
Yeah. And then there's this interesting detail about the queen mother being removed from power.
What?
The chronicler says she was tied to the north and was a bad influence on how people worshipped.
Oh, wow.
You know, it makes you realize women held some serious power back then, not just the kings.
Absolutely. And this removal, that's a clear sign that Asa was serious about getting rid of anything that could lead people away from the one true God.
Exactly. But hold on tight.
Oh.
This unity and revival, it doesn't last forever.
Oh, I knew there was a plot twist coming.
Things are about to get really complicated.
What happens next? Does Asa lose his faith?
Well, the turning point seems to be this war with King Baasha.
Okay.
And here's where things get really interesting. The chronicler says it starts in Asa's 35th year of reigning, but other sources say Baasha was already dead by then.
Wait, chronological puzzle.
Yeah.
Sounds like the chronicler might be playing with the timeline here.
It does, doesn't it?
Is this like an ancient historical error, or is there something more to it?
That's a question scholars have been debating for centuries.
Really?
Yeah. Some think it's a simple mistake, but others think it's totally intentional.
Huh.
A way for the chronicler to emphasize a deeper truth.
Oh.
Remember how he's always linking sin and judgment?
Right, right.
Well, this war with Baasha, it seems to be presented as a form of judgment on Asa.
So even though the dates might not perfectly line up, the message is clear.
Yeah.
Something's shifted in Asa's leadership.
Yes.
But what exactly is his failing here?
He's not relying on God like he did before. Instead of seeking God's guidance and support, he turns to human alliances and military strategy. It's subtle, but significant, marking the beginning of his downfall.
So it's like he's traded faith for self-reliance.
Yeah.
Got this big army, powerful allies, and he thinks, I can handle this myself.
Exactly.
But the chronicler is showing us the true strength. It comes from depending on God, not human power or cleverness.
You got it. And this is just the beginning.
Oh, no.
Asa's made compromises.
Right.
And there will be consequences.
Wow. This is definitely not your typical happy ending.
Nope.
But I'm already seeing some powerful lessons here.
Yeah.
About leadership, faith, and the danger of thinking we could do it all on our own.
You're picking up on the key themes here for sure.
Well, this has been an amazing start to our deep dive.
It has.
You've definitely got me hooked.
Good.
Can't wait to hear what happens next in Asa's journey.
Me too.
And more importantly, what we can learn from it all.
Exactly. It's going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
So we left off with Asa starting to make some, let's say, not so great choices.
Yeah, definitely straying from that path of relying on God.
Right, leaning more on his own strength and less on, you know, the divine strategy.
Exactly.
But here's what I find interesting.
What's that?
Even after all this, even after those questionable calls, the chronicler still talks about Asa having this honorable burial. Spices, big ceremony, the whole nine yards.
That's a good point.
You know?
You're right to point that out.
Yeah.
It's like the chronicler's wrestling with Asa's legacy, you know?
Right.
He's acknowledging the good alongside the bad.
Yeah.
Not erasing him, not dismissing him as a total failure.
Which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Asa did accomplish some pretty impressive stuff early on.
Oh, absolutely.
He got rid of those foreign cults, unified the nation, even for a while, fortified the cities.
Right.
He wasn't always making bad calls.
No, not at all.
It's more like he, I don't know, gradually drifted away from that initial trust in God.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes his story so relatable, even today.
Oh, totally.
It's not about being perfect, perfectly good or totally bad.
Yeah.
It's those moments where I think we all face that temptation to rely on our own strength, our own cleverness.
Right.
Instead of seeking God's guidance, you know? It's a subtle but dangerous trap.
It's like we start thinking, hey, I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm smart. I'm resourceful. I can handle this on my own.
Right.
And before you know it, we've built our own little Asherah grove, so to speak.
I love that analogy.
Right.
We create these idols, these things we put our trust in, careers, possessions, relationships, even our own intellect.
Yeah.
And they subtly replace our dependence on God.
Yeah, we think we're in control.
Right.
But actually, we're drifting further and further away from, you know, the real source of strength.
Exactly. And as we see with Asa, the consequences can be pretty serious.
Yeah. Endless war, alienation from God, and ultimately divine judgment. Not exactly the happy ending.
No, definitely a cautionary tale. But the chronicler's message isn't one of despair.
Okay.
Even in judgment, there's this call to return to God, to humility, recognizing our need for him.
Yeah. Even when things are going well.
Right. Especially then, you know,
it's not just about avoiding those big, obvious sins.
Right.
It's that constant awareness of needing God.
Yeah.
even in those small everyday choices.
Absolutely.
It's choosing dependence over self-sufficiency.
Yes.
Even when we feel like we've got it all figured out.
Exactly. A message that resonates across time and cultures.
Yeah, definitely.
We may not face the same kind of military threats as Asa.
Right.
But that temptation to rely on ourselves rather than God, that's, well, it's as old as humanity itself.
You know, it's fascinating how these ancient stories can still speak to us today.
I agree.
It's like they're holding up a mirror to our own lives, showing us those potential pitfalls.
Right.
And the path back to really relying on God.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I find the Chronicler's work so valuable. It's not just a dry historical account.
Right.
It's a tapestry of timeless truths, ethical dilemmas, and spiritual challenges that I think still resonate today.
Yeah, I agree.
He's inviting us into this conversation about what it means to live faithfully in a world that's constantly trying to pull us away from God.
And speaking of challenges, remember that chronological puzzle with the war against Baasha?
Oh, yeah, the one we talked about earlier.
Some scholars think it's a simple error. Others see it as like this deliberate literary thing. What are your thoughts? Do you think the Chronicler was messing with the timeline on purpose, or was it just a mistake?
Well, as we discussed, some think it's a miscalculation. Others see it as a way to emphasize Asa's shift away from God.
Right.
It's definitely possible the Chronicler, known for his artistry and theological depth, was using this to make a point.
So maybe it's not about getting stuck on the historical details,
but
understanding the bigger picture, the message the Chronicler is trying to convey.
Exactly.
It's like in a movie.
Yeah.
When the director plays with time, flashbacks, dream sequences to add another layer of meaning.
I love that analogy.
Right.
The Chronicler's a master storyteller.
He is.
He's using all the tools at his disposal to draw our attention to those key spiritual lessons.
And in this case, it seems like he's using the chronology to highlight that moment.
Yeah.
When Asa starts to rely on himself instead of God.
Exactly. And that shift, subtle as it might seem, leads to a whole bunch of negative consequences.
Yeah.
Affects his leadership, his relationships, his decision-making, ultimately his downfall.
So it's a reminder, even small compromises, especially in our relationship with God, they can have huge consequences.
Absolutely. We might think we're making a minor adjustment, a slight deviation.
Yeah.
But those choices, they can lead us further and further away from the true source of strength and wisdom.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about Asa's failures. But what about the flip side? What does a life of, like, true reliance on God actually look like?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, how can we avoid falling into those same traps as Asa? What can we actually do to cultivate that kind of deep trust in God?
Well, I think the Chronicler gives us some clues.
Okay.
Both implicitly and explicitly throughout his work.
Oh, yeah.
One of the key themes is seeking God's guidance.
Okay.
Through prayer and studying scripture.
So it's not just saying, God, I trust you.
Right.
It's actively building a relationship with him.
Yes.
Seeking his wisdom.
Yeah.
In every part of our lives.
Absolutely.
Making a conscious choice to invite him into our decisions, big or small.
That's it. And that takes discipline, intentionality,
right,
and a willingness to surrender our plans to his.
Not always easy.
No, not always.
Especially, you know, in a culture that celebrates self-reliance, independence, doing things our own way.
I agree. It's like we're constantly told you are enough. You can do anything you set your mind to.
You're the master of your own destiny.
Right. And while there's truth to that, you know, we do have choices.
Yeah.
But it becomes a trap when we forget where our true strength comes from.
It's easy to get caught up in that message, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like our success, our happiness, our worth, it all depends on us. And we forget, or maybe never learned, that it's God who gives us the ability to achieve anything.
That's right. It's his gifts, his grace that empowers us.
So it's not about denying our abilities or ambition or wanting to achieve great things.
No, of course not.
It's about recognizing that those abilities are gifts from God.
Yes.
To be used for his purposes.
Exactly.
Not just our own.
That's it. It's about seeking his guidance, his wisdom, his direction in how we use those gifts to make a difference.
And that's where Asa went wrong, right?
That's right.
Started relying on his own, well, everything.
Yeah, political skills, military power, alliances.
Instead of seeking God's direction.
Exactly. He started trusting himself, his resources, and drifted away from that dependence on God.
And that shift, that move from relying on God to relying on himself.
Yeah.
led to all those negative consequences.
It did.
Endless war, alienated from God, divine judgment.
It's a reminder that even small compromises can have big ripple effects.
Yeah, especially in our relationship with God.
Absolutely.
But even in Asa's downfall, the chronicler doesn't paint him as like a total villain, right?
No, not at all.
He highlights both the failures and successes.
He does.
Reminding us that even the best of us can stumble.
Right.
Make bad choices, drift away.
It's a story of both caution and hope.
Yeah, not a simple good versus evil thing.
Right.
It's more nuanced, showing human nature.
Absolutely. The complexities, the contradictions.
That tension between wanting to do good and, well, messing it up.
Exactly. And that's what makes the chronicler so compelling, don't you think?
Go totally.
He's not afraid to show us the mess.
Yeah.
The struggle to live faithfully in a world that's always pulling us in the opposite direction.
And the fact that even those who start strong, like Asa, can stumble.
Yes, but he also reminds us that God's grace is always there.
Mm-hmm. Even in our failures.
Even then. And he doesn't give easy answers or simplistic solutions.
Right.
He challenges us to really wrestle with the tough questions.
Yeah.
To think about what faith means in practice.
Right, to live it out in the real world.
To face those decisions, those forks in the road.
Yeah.
And choose time and time again to seek God's guidance, to trust his wisdom.
And to align our lives with his purposes.
Exactly.
So it's not just ancient history.
No.
It's a living word. A call to action, a guide for navigating the complexities of faith and obedience in our own lives.
And recognizing that those same patterns we see in Asa.
The pride, the self-reliance, the compromises.
Yes, those are still playing out today.
In our world, our lives, the people around us.
You're absolutely right. And that's why Asa's story, for all its messiness and tragedy,
right,
ultimately offers a message of hope. Yes, it reminds us that even when we stumble and fall, God's grace is there.
We just need to humble ourselves, acknowledge our need for him,
yes,
and return to that dependence and trust.
Beautifully said. It's a message of incredible hope and encouragement for all of us.
Okay, so we've covered a lot.
We have.
Asa's rise and fall, those chronological puzzles.
Right.
The dangers of pride and self-reliance.
Yeah.
The importance of seeking God's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
What are some key takeaways for our listeners?
Good question.
As they continue their own deep dive into the chronicler's work, what should they keep in mind?
Well, I think one of the most important takeaways is this: ongoing spiritual vigilance.
Okay, vigilance.
It's not enough to have one moment of revival, one season of obedience.
Right.
We need to constantly check our hearts, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure we haven't built any idols, haven't drifted away in those subtle, almost invisible ways.
So like a spiritual maintenance routine.
Yes.
Regular prayer.
Yeah.
Studying the scriptures, seeking wise counsel, making sure our hearts are aligned with God's will.
It's about staying connected to the source of our strength.
Day in and day out.
Every single day. And that takes intentionality, discipline.
Yeah.
Being honest with ourselves about where we might be straying.
It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life.
It is.
Work, success, and lose sight of those spiritual priorities.
Absolutely. But the chronicler reminds us,
yeah,
those priorities are essential if we want true fulfillment, lasting impact.
It's like that saying, the devil's in the details.
Mm-hmm.
Those little compromises, subtle shifts in thinking.
Yeah.
Those choices that lead us away from God.
And sometimes we don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah. Until it's too late.
Until we feel distant, depleted, disconnected.
And that's where the chronicler's work is so valuable.
I agree.
It helps us see those dangers,
recognize
those patterns that can lead to, well, downfall.
He's like a spiritual watchman, alerting us to the threats to our faith.
He doesn't sugarcoat anything.
No, he doesn't.
He shows us the consequences, the pain, the messiness of it all.
Right.
He's not afraid to paint a realistic picture.
But he also points us to redemption.
Okay.
To restoration, to God's grace.
It's always there. For those who turn back.
It is. Even in Asa's failures, we see God's mercy.
His willingness to forgive.
Always there for those who turn back to him.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
No, not at all.
There's hope woven through the narrative.
Yes.
Hope that's rooted in God's faithfulness, his forgiveness, his desire to restore us.
It's a reminder that no matter how far we stray,
or how many mistakes we make,
it doesn't matter.
There's always a way back.
To wholeness, to peace.
Exactly. And that's what the chronicler is inviting us into
mm-hmm.
through his retelling of Israel's history.
It's not just recounting events.
Right.
It's a challenge to examine our own hearts.
To align ourselves with God's purposes.
To step out of our self-made kingdoms.
Yeah.
And into God's boundless kingdom.
So it's not just ancient history.
No.
It's a living word, a call to action.
A guidebook for navigating the complexities of faith and obedience.
Recognizing those same patterns in Asa's story, those patterns of pride, self-reliance, and compromise.
They're still playing out today in our world and in our lives.
Absolutely. And for all its messiness, Asa's story ultimately offers a message of hope.
It does.
It reminds us that even when we stumble and fall, God's grace is always available.
Always.
We just need to humble ourselves, acknowledge our need for him, and return to that place of dependence and trust.
Beautifully said. That's a message we all need to hear, no matter our background or where we are spiritually.
We're all prone to wander, to mess up, to drift away.
But the chronicler reminds us it's never too late to turn back.
To repent, to receive his grace and forgiveness.
A message of incredible hope and encouragement for all of us.
Okay, we've covered a lot here.
We have.
Spiritual vigilance, those subtle compromises, the hope of redemption, the boundless grace of God.
It's a lot to unpack, for sure.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap up this part of our deep dive?
Well, I think it's important to remember that the chronicler's work is ultimately a call to discipleship.
Hmm. Discipleship.
It's not just about knowing stuff. Or understanding things intellectually.
Right.
It's about letting God's word change us.
Yeah.
Shape our character, guide our actions.
So it's not just what we know, but how we live.
Exactly. Putting faith into practice.
Becoming more like Christ.
Yes. Letting that transformation impact us.
And the people around us.
Absolutely. And that's a lifelong journey.
It is.
It takes constant learning, growing, surrendering to God's will.
The chronicler's work is like a resource for that journey.
It is.
Giving us insights, challenges, encouragement along the way.
Like a spiritual roadmap.
I like that.
Guiding us through the complexities.
Pointing us towards that ultimate destination of wholeness and restoration in God.
Beautifully put.
It's a journey of transformation, individually and collectively, as we let God's grace shape us into who we're meant to be.
Exactly. And that's the message I hope our listeners will take away from this deep dive. May it inspire them to keep exploring the chronicler's work.
Yeah.
And to allow God's word to truly transform their lives.
I love that. This has been an amazing conversation.
It has.
And I know I've learned a lot from exploring this with you.
Me too.
Thanks for sharing your expertise and insights.
My pleasure. Always a joy to dive into these ancient texts.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
We hope you've been challenged, encouraged, inspired to keep exploring the chronicler's work.
Keep seeking, keep questioning,
and keep diving deep.
Until next time.
So we've spent all this time on King Asa.
Yeah, quite a journey, right?
Definitely. Started strong, stumbled along the way, faced some tough consequences.
Mm-hmm. Choices have consequences, as they say.
But I got to ask.
Go ahead.
What can we, you know, living in a totally different time,
right,
actually learn from this? It's got to be more than just an ancient history lesson.
Oh, absolutely. The chronicler wasn't just writing down facts. He was crafting a narrative, a story with deeper meaning for his time. And as we've been saying, for us today.
So how do we, I don't know, bridge that gap?
Yeah, good question.
What connects Asa's story to our lives now?
Well, I think one of the biggest parallels, and this is something that just seems to resonate across time, is that temptation to rely on ourselves, our own strength, our cleverness, our resources.
Instead of God, right.
Instead of seeking God's guidance, exactly.
It's like we think, hey, I got this, I'm smart, I can figure it out.
Yeah, that I can do it all myself mentality.
And we forget, or maybe ignore, that we're not really in control.
It's like we build these little kingdoms of self-sufficiency. Yeah.
I like that.
We surround ourselves with things that make us feel safe, secure.
Careers, possessions.
Yeah.
But we forget, or maybe never really learned, that true security, that deep peace we all want.
Right.
It comes from aligning with God's will, with his purpose for us.
Exactly. So it's not just about avoiding those big, obvious sins.
Okay. What else then?
It's about those subtle ways we try to go it alone.
I see.
Prioritizing our own agenda over seeking God's
big room pride and self-reliance sneak in.
Even in those everyday choices.
Yeah, those little decisions we make.
It's about humility, you know?
Humility.
Recognizing our need for God admitting we don't have all the answers,
right,
and being willing to surrender our plans to his.
Which, I'll admit, is not always easy.
Oh, definitely not, especially in a culture that's all about you can do anything.
Right, you're enough.
Be independent, achieve success on your own terms.
And while there's some truth to that.
Sure, we do have choices.
But it can be a trap if we forget where our true strength comes from.
Absolutely. It's so easy to get caught up in that.
That self-sufficiency thing.
Yeah, believing that our success, happiness, worth, it all depends on us.
And we forget, or never really learned, that it's God who gives us the ability to do anything.
That's it. His gifts, his grace, that's what empowers us.
So it's not about denying our abilities.
No, of course not.
Or ambition, or wanting to achieve things.
Not at all.
But recognizing those abilities are gifts from God.
They are.
To be used for his purposes.
Not just for our own gain.
And that's where Asa went wrong, huh?
Yeah, he started relying on his political maneuvering, his military, his alliances.
Instead of seeking God.
Exactly. He started trusting himself, his resources, and drifted away.
And that shift from reliance on God to reliance on self
led to all those consequences.
Endless war, alienation, judgment.
A reminder that those compromises, even small ones, can have huge ripple effects.
Especially when it comes to God.
Absolutely.
But even with Asa's downfall, the chronicler doesn't make him out to be like a pure villain.
No, he doesn't.
He shows both sides.
He does.
Reminding us that even the best of us can mess up.
We're all capable of stumbling, making wrong choices.
Drifting away.
It's a story of both caution and hope.
Yeah. Not just good versus evil.
Right. It's more nuanced, showing us human nature, the struggles, the contradictions.
That push and pull between wanting to do good and, well, messing it up.
It's real, and I think that's what makes the chronicler so powerful, so relatable.
He's not afraid to show us the messy stuff.
The struggle to live faithfully in a world that's pulling us in the other direction.
And the fact that anyone can stumble, even those who start strong.
Yes, but he also reminds us about God's grace.
It's always there.
Even in our failures.
And he doesn't give us easy answers.
No, he challenges us to wrestle with the tough questions.
What does it mean to have faith? How do we live it out?
Facing those choices, those crossroads, and choosing to seek God, to trust him.
Aligning our lives with his purpose.
It's not just history, it's a living word.
A call to action.
A guidebook for navigating this complex thing we call faith.
And recognizing those patterns in Asa's story.
The pride, the self-reliance.
It's still happening today.
In our world, in our lives.
Absolutely. And for all its tragedy, Asa's story offers hope.
It does.
Even when we mess up, God's grace is there.
It always is.
We just have to humble ourselves, acknowledge our need, and turn back.
That's the key, turning back to him.
And that's a message we all need.
It is, no matter who we are, where we are in our spiritual journey.
We all wander, we all make mistakes, we all drift.
But it's never too late to turn back.
To repent, to receive that forgiveness.
A message of hope and encouragement for everyone.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Asa.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
What's the one thing you want our listeners to take away?
You know, as we've been talking, I keep coming back to humility.
Humility.
Cultivating that in our lives.
Recognizing our need for God in everything.
Acknowledging our limitations, our weaknesses.
And remembering his grace is always there.
Always there, no matter what.
It's a powerful message.
And I think a really important one.
Well, this has been incredible.
It has.
I've learned so much from exploring this with you.
Me too. It's always a joy to dive into these texts.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for being here.
We hope you've been challenged, encouraged, maybe even inspired.
To keep exploring, keep seeking.
And keep diving deep.
Absolutely. Until next time.